Oh, it's called a segue. It's sexy segue. All right. He's loading me up with some Bela Fleck. He turned me on to many years ago. And we have a new thing called a schism. Actually, what's it called? A scrimmage? A scheme. It's one of those words. It's a there is a schism going on about semantics and word usage, I guess, with ours, we's, theirs, etc. But that's what you get with live community, non-commercial, uncensored radio. That's listener supported. And a little station business, and we'll be back with Mason Chalk, current county council member and up for election again, a candidate in the 2014 County of Kauai County Council election.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its management, staff, or underwriters.
Kauai Canvas, professional gallery quality giclée canvas printing and digital image capture now available on Kauai. Managing print flow, stretching, and even crating. More information at 212-6971 or online at kauaicanvas.com. Kauai Canvas, stretch your imagination.
Al Pastor Tacos supports KKCR across the street from the craft fair in Kapa'a by the beach. Al Pastor Tacos serves fresh grilled local fish, steak, chicken, and pork tacos and burritos in the Al Pastor style. Also a garden salad and choices for the kids. Open every day from 11 to 4. Takeout orders welcome. Al Pastor Tacos, authentic Mexican food. 652-6953.
If you are a candidate for political office and would like to speak to Kauai on KKCR, call in to our public affairs talk shows at 826-7771, Tuesdays and Thursdays between 4 and 6 p.m.
A shofar, and yeah, turn me on to that. Millions of people have been turned on to that over the years, but it basically separates the past from the present. So we've got Mason Chalk, current county council person, in the studio today, and we will be able to take live call-in questions or comments or interactions with Mason in 15 or 20 minutes or so. We're just going to kind of get to know him. A lot of you already do know him. Born and raised on this beautiful island, so he's got a lot of family out there, but some of us don't know Mason, and this is going to be a great way to meet him. I just got to meet him myself for the first time about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think, at a meet and greet out in Hanalei, right on the beach. Couldn't do that nicer, and the food was amazing. Mason, aloha. How's your mic doing?
Aloha.
Aloha. All right. Well, let me see. I don't know. I was going to play a little music and give you time to get settled in, but you look like you're just ready to go right now.
Well, whatever you like.
Let me get my cheat sheets out here. All right. A quick thing for those who aren't really familiar. First of all, Mason Chalk graduated from Kamehameha, grew up in whereabouts? Wailua, Isai?
You know, I've lived all over this island. Okay. You know, I can remember the days when I grew up in Poipu, Brenneke
okay.
Beach.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, those were in the 70s. You know, I went to school in Kalaheo.
Okay.
Holy Cross.
Okay.
And Koloa School. And I, after Poipu, I moved away to the mainland for a few years. Lived
okay.
with my tutuwahine.
Oh, wow.
And when I came back, you know, I moved to the east side with my father.
Okay, so you're an all-over-the-place guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. That's right. And then what I think I remember hearing the other night is you were blessed to get your high school education at Kamehameha Schools.
Sure.
Okay.
That's right. I boarded at the age of, I don't know, was it 12 in the 7th grade? So, it was a blessing, you know, for me coming home from the mainland. You know, my parents had been divorced, so I was looking for some freedom myself, and it offered me that. But not only that, as you know, Kamehameha is a great school, so yeah. It allowed me a good education as well. I've heard other opportunities, of course.
So many people that have come from there, you know, with glowing reviews, but I never heard anybody say it so clearly and succinctly as you did the other night, that they instill a sense of service to Hawaii, to the people, to the community, and you were kind of riffing on that, but I'd never heard it before, and I kind of checked it out, and a lot of people come out of Kamehameha with a kind of a movement to serve their community in one way or another.
Yeah, I mean, I can speak to it a little bit. You know, people, even during the 80s when I went to high school there at Kamehameha, it was in a time of upheaval. You know, with the trust in jeopardy, and those who came before me know that that Kamehameha was never really that place to foster Hawaiian heritage. I mean, it certainly is a Hawaiian school, and what made it Hawaiian was that everyone who went there or goes there is Hawaiian, and I think that it's that one piece, that alone, the fact that people who went to this school were Native Hawaiian. We had something in common, and it was okay to be Hawaiian, and we ended up being proud to be Hawaiian. It made us feel like something special about us, and that's where our identity started. Many people who graduate from Kamehameha start to learn more about their culture as a result of that specific situation, you know, condition of being Hawaiian at that school of all Hawaiians, and so it drives some pride and some investigation of who you truly are at its very essence. What are our practices? What's our history? The flip side of Kamehameha, as I spoke to that night, really speaks to the princess's will, which was founded on some real Western principles. And those principles are to, you know, create industrious men and women for the Western world. And this is
that's what it was. It was industrious men and women.
It's specifically stated in her will.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that. I had it wrong. It's industrious. But from that, probably a lot of service comes out of there. But industrious, meaning get in the game.
That's true. As I said, you know, when we met last, typically what you see out of Kamehameha students are people who move into service because of that aspect of her wishes. And so typically firefighters, policemen, teachers. I like to say we're a lot more than that, but to be a little stereotypical, we do move into those services areas. And as you know, a lot of my classmates, as we move back after college to come home to Kauai, I noticed that it was prevalent. Classmates like Ipo Torio, you know, who started a charter school, Stacy Sproat, who you know, got right into the Waipau Foundation that, you know, transitioned it from the Hanalei Farmers.
Amazing. Powerhouse, so, Stacy.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, these are the people that are leading your island. And we have that intention of not only perpetuating our culture, but serving everyone that lives on this island. It's something I think that's unique about Kamehameha. It's probably the same for other schools as well, but something I've certainly tuned into.
I'll throw you a little sideways just for a second.
Sure.
Rice Via Cayetano took a couple of years, and we covered that a lot. And I found myself actually being disappointed with the outcome because I really felt like there should be a place that was truly dedicated and focused like that. And I thought that was kind of strange, almost being assaulted or attacked from the outside. But what were your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, that was certainly not my purview at the time. I mean, I was thinking about, right when that was coming on board, I was thinking about my own development. You know, as I told you, that it was, you know, when I came back from school up to the island, I mean, all I wanted was a job. I had a child right at the age of 20.
Oh, man.
You know, so I was thinking about building a house, having a house. And I was pretty, at that age, I was pretty strident on what I wanted to accomplish in my goals. In fact, I didn't think about anything else except my family at that time. It was through my service, continued service at the fire department, that really led me to starting to look at the community on a larger level. Yeah, and I got that opportunity sort of like in a, really a 1-2 punch, you know, in 2001 when the helicopter went down. So.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because you conceivably, at that young point in time, had no political aspirations. You had your job, your family. You were in a job I would assume you loved, and you had a helicopter accident. Why don't you tell us what happened about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, so when I came home, just to complete the story, I really wanted to just get into something. And like I said before, firefighting was just it's kind of a dream job for most people. But it was easy enough. I took the civil service test, and a few of my classmates and I, and we got in. I quickly learned how much I enjoyed serving others through this. It was different from waiting on tables, you know, and it was the bell rang and people really wanted you for something specific.
Right.
And so it was inspiring for me. But, you know, I had every intention of being a career firefighter. I enjoyed it. I liked the lifestyle. I thought I'd go far in it. I was one of the first people to actually get promoted in my class as a firefighter. But in 2001, I was working on... as a rescue specialist. So in that role, you know, we answer our Napali Coast calls, so the helicopter operations and so forth. So one afternoon we get a call, as we usually do in the afternoons when we get calls, is when people want to leave Napali Coast because, okay, you know, they don't want to walk out. But this was a real deal call. Someone had gotten injured and we were headed out there. And, you know, it takes about 5 minutes to get from Lihue to Napali. And in the first few minutes, we clearly had some distress, and we lost our engine. Luckily, we had not been elevated far enough up Waialeale to go over the cliff. If we had, then we wouldn't have anywhere to land. So we actually landed at the very bottom, and we were able to kind of meet the cliff, the pali, before we accelerated. So that kind of led me in a different way, because I did get injured from it. You know, it was kind of a slow process for me, and I guess I was hard-headed at the time, because I tried to go back to work, and I continually hurt my back. And so it got to a point where, you know, the fire department, the county started saying, well, I don't know if this guy should be in this job, or maybe he should go to another department, or maybe he should be in prevention. And the great thing at that period in my life was that I was able to meet a lot of people in my own healing. So I was being healed in my own ways, but I was being healed not only physically. I think that what I met was a lot of mentors, a lot of people who started to talk to me and say, "No, I know you came for me to work on your back, but in a spiritual sense, you need some healing, and you need to look at some other things in your life." So I met people who influenced me, like Auntie Mahilani Poepoe, who was a La'au Lapa'au practitioner,
For our non-Hawaiians or non-Akamai in the language. Could you explain that?
You know, traditional Hawaiian medicinal herbs, yeah. But she was skilled in lomi lomi and other. She was a seer as well. And she said, you're meant to do something else. So, and this is what I needed, because I was in turmoil. I wanted to be a firefighter. I said I was going to fight it all the way, and I was pretty unhappy at the time. So she said, no, you got to look at some other things. And what you're meant to do is help people. And I said, well, I love helping people. That's great. She said, okay, well, boy, if you want to help people, you got to clean your hale. And I was like, boy, I don't know what she means. Auntie, what do you mean? Because I'm Portuguese. You see, Portuguese, we take care of our kitchen. You know, we're pretty tidy people. I come from the Fernandez Ohana. So
okay.
I said, I don't know what that means. But it was a few years later that I started to realize, man, what it really meant was I had to work on myself first if I wanted to serve others. And that really led me in the direction of becoming a lifelong learner in a different level. And not only self-development for myself, but what I learned was that if I was able to take these lessons for myself and start to facilitate them for others, then it also got me back to inspiration. It also got me back to serving others the way I wanted to.
I just I couldn't help but chuckling to myself a minute ago, because you said you left firefighting, but actually you're coming into the county council at a time when there are a lot of political fires happening and social issue fires and everything else on this island, so... You're just approaching firefighting on a different angle.
Yeah,
I think
that's true.
So, talk to me about the ropes course and the business that you founded there. And that's kind of what's really exciting to me about you as a candidate. Everyone's got a story. All candidates and incumbents and newcomers have their story and their perspective and outlook. But you've really kind of circled around, and I was really amazed at your bio. So, is it Kupu'ae? How do you pronounce that?
You said it right, okay. Kupu'ae. You know, it's an unfolding, as like a fern shoot unfolds. That's the name of our company. It is a leadership development company. It's an offshoot. I like to say it's an offshoot, literally an offshoot of Leadership Kauai in some ways. And I'll just step back just a
few
further.
Progression.
And in 1999, as I continued to work with Stacy Sproat at Waipaw, you know, one of the great things about being a firefighter is you work 10 days a month, so you got some extra time, and I started getting into the community and doing some work. And so this is one of the things that I found more inspiration from. And so we started working with youth. We got together with some people from the community, and this challenge ropes course was built. And the challenge ropes course, for most people know what it is on this island, but it's about outdoor experiential education, experiential learning. That means we work, learn by hands-on work. And, you know, we thought, wow, this could be something for our KK. This could be a way to really reach them, because we were feeling like there was a need for life skills, for resiliency to be prevalent in our community. Our kids weren't getting as far as we wanted them to go and thrive. And so we thought, boy, our keiki, our ancestors learned by doing things hands-on, by observing, listening, interacting with their environment. So this was a great opportunity. So we really took that model and we built the challenge ropes course. It was called Kauai Team Challenge in 1999. It still is, but it's also Kupuaʻe, so it's under two names now. And that's where this all started. It was a group of QLCC boys, orphans, that I brought out one day that I think changed my life, because I saw just lights flicker and shine bright in the process. And so it is a process, and I'm a process person. I realized that early on. And so what I started to do was start to utilize some of these skills in building social competency and emotional competency.
And this actually started before even the accident in the helicopter.
That's right. Yeah. 2 years later, accident happened, and it was I took some time to try and get back to the fire department. Didn't work. And this was just like a no-brainer. It was an open door for me, and so I just took it and started utilizing it, working with it. We got a grant that's helped us to start a mentoring program called Kukui Malama Lama, which is a mentoring for at-risk youth. It was for children of prisoners, of incarcerated parents, and so we matched them with community members. There's been a lot of work done in resiliency on Kauai since the 50s. That we said, wow, this could really work in Kauai because we have a history of it. And so that's what we fostered. It lasted for about 11 years, that program with KTC. But along that way, I got exposed to what was occurring on the island on a broader level with Leadership Kauai. And you know that people like Jeff Afaro and Tim Bynum both were part as executive directors of Leadership Kauai. I came on board to really help bring some of the cultural aspects to it. And then I helped start the youth program there, which led to years later to becoming the executive director. So I served as executive director for about 5.5 years there. And we grew the program. And for those of you, real quick, Leadership Kauai is about bringing people together from a cross-section of the community to have some discussions and develop their leadership skills collaboratively. And we thought it was really necessary at the time, which was right at the beginning of the 2000s, there was an economic boom happening on Kauai, and we thought, boy, our meetings, our community meetings, getting pretty, divisive sometimes, right? And we, you know, what we understood was, well, we shouldn't be having those hard decisions in the meeting. We should be trying to build relationships around people in different sectors first, and then come together for some real problem solving. And that was, to me, what attracted me to Leadership Kauai, is the ability for us to come together for solutions, but work on things collectively. So that, I feel like Leadership Kauai was a great addition to Kauai and continues to be. However, for me, you know, I started to get really deep into the leadership development aspect. I became one of the trainers, facilitators.
I read that you're one of only 40 in the entire world, the advanced facilitator, is that
master
true?
Facilitator.
Master facilitator. Yeah. Yeah.
So we had to pick and choose, because at one time Leadership Kauai was a lot of different modalities of leadership theory, but I wanted something that was tangible, and the work that I advocate for with the Leadership Challenge is something measurable. So what we found in research in 30 years is that there are specific behaviors that people can do to elevate their leadership abilities.
Now, are those young people, or can we actually reschool broken adults?
Of course, as you know, adults are harder,
yeah.
A little bit less impressionable. But No, anyone can do this work. I mean, right. And one of the fundamental principles is that's driving me today still is that it's everyone's kuleana. Everyone is responsible. Everyone has the opportunity. Leadership is not about a title. It's not a position. We all have the capacity. You weren't born with it. You know, maybe Martin Luther King was, but most of us are not. And it's something that you can increasingly gain in. People don't realize that there is because it's not tangible.
Small successes, and it starts becoming, wow, I can do this. And always behind us, we have our family of origin, and who knows all the crazy stuff that's coming in. But we all have that, you know, and we're all kind of manifesting a different action. I'm going to see if I can test out our new phone line. Maybe we'll take a. I'm going to take calls in just a few more minutes. Okay, so we'll keep talking. So from that, now there are aspects still in place today. You're still working with youth on the island through the ropes course, which is Kupu'ae.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we'll also want to tell people we started something a couple weeks ago. And by the way, thank goodness the lightning strike that hit KKCR was the final push to get us onto a whole new high-tech phone system. But if you've got a text question you'd like to text for Mason Schock, we'd love to hear it. And the text number is 808-635-9382. Text to 808-635-9382. And also, in just 5 or 10 more minutes, we'll start taking phone calls. But I want to talk about the ropes course and youth on the island, too, because one of the great ways of fixing an adult is catching them when they're a kid, and instead of having to body slam, you can just gently nudge in the right direction. It's pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. So starting with the physical structure of the ropes course, what are you doing with these kids? I assume there are not metaphorical ropes, there are actual ropes involved.
Absolutely. I can tell you about the structure of it. I mean, it's experiential learning at its best. So what it is, it's a process, as I said. Yeah. And so it's about getting to know people, but also as we build relationships, we interact on different levels. And one of the ways we interact is that we come into conflict often as humans, and we have to problem solve together. I mean, this is the dynamics of relationships. It's the dynamics of change. And so how do we deal with these aspects of life as humans? And so the ropes course offers that opportunity to have these discussions and get, you know, progress in being able to actually mitigate those situations. It starts off with safe activities that are safe and emotionally and starts to build confidence in people so
examples.
That they become closer. Well, one of the things that I always like throwing these activities together that are hands-on that cause people to really think. One of the activities that I like and people will profess to it is the tennis ball madness activity. And some of our parents I've done with at Kapaa High School, and I do it with every year. And it requires us to kind of problem solve how it is we're all going to succeed. How do we look for win-win solutions in every situation? And so it goes through a series. I mean, I've got probably about a million in my head right now that can come out at any time. Mm. But we utilize these and they get progressively harder. And this leads us to really asking about things that we fear, you know, like fear of failure, fear of winning. How do we step outside of our comfort zone to kind of expand our learning capacity? And how do we encourage others to do so? And it's really about getting the group to a place where they will do more than they ever thought they would. So oftentimes we have people who are afraid of heights who come to the course and say, I will never climb up a tree. And the intention is not to force them ever to do that, but through their own exploration with their team, have the kind of support that enables them, empowers them, to put that helmet and harness up and climb up that tree and jump off. Never would they thought that they could do this, but by the end of the day, it's sort of life-changing for them.
Yeah.
This is just one of the tools that we use. I mean, I like to put it in the context of what leadership development truly is about, and it's much deeper than that. So
now, drawing a parallel to Kauai as a living individual, the entire community of this wonderful island, we're in an interesting place right now. We're divided. We have fears about GMOs, pesticides, the economy, maybe having a drug rehab facility in our backyard, so many things. How do you draw a parallel from individuals maybe going through a rope course and coming in as a county counselor and facilitating this island through a similar mindset?
Well, I mean, you know, people are people. Humans are humans, and we have our vices, we have our ways, and they're habitual. And so what we're really talking about is mindsets, right? And if we can start to work with shifting our mindsets and becoming more open to new opportunities and ways of and perspectives, ways of looking at things, then we become more expanded. We become more conscious of different solutions, and this is really what the work is about for me. But it starts with some very foundational things, such as values, right? The idea that being very clear about the things that are most important, because everything's important, but how it is we share those with people, how it is it materializes into the things we see for ourselves and for others in the future, and how we can take those things and start to act on them, you know, take those things and actually create opportunities, be innovative, be creative, right? And then include other people, because really the work is about other people. I mean, the other fundamental principle is that leadership is about relationships. And it starts with our relationship with ourselves and then moves to others, but also with our environment. So the place we live in, the place that we come from and we interact with on a daily basis.
Do you believe that there is a massive disparity of values between different sets of people? Or do you believe that maybe we share more values than we think, but we're interpreting them in a different way, or we're vocalizing or voicing them or experiencing them differently?
I think, yes, we have. I mean, you know, let me just take the council, for instance.
Yeah.
I think that everyone on the council, all great people, good-hearted people, and in actuality, I think we all want the same things for Kauai, for our future. It's how we get there that I think may differ. It's on our approach and how we process getting to that solution that may differ. And these are specific behaviors. These are specific skill sets that we utilize in order to interact with people to get to the best solutions. So, I mean, you're asking about a couple different things in one question. And
I'm trying to surround the wagons and
come from a lot of different angles
and give you an opportunity to maybe look at it from different angles, too. So, let me see. For those that are listening that are not clear on how you became to be part of this current county council, maybe you can explain what happened, what led up to it, and how you were appointed, selected, or drawn into this family.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, I've been asked to serve, and one of the things that happened, you know, if I was to go back to me leaving Leadership Kauai, for one, the reason why I left was, you know, if leadership is for every single person, then I had to reach more people than 20 adults, 20 youth a year. And so it was just because of that and the want, the need for me to reach a tipping point on this island to see the kind of social, economic change, systemic change that we all want, we all talk about constantly, then we'd have to reach more mindsets and shift more mindsets, right, to become more open. And so that's what I did. I left and, you know, as soon as I left, I got, hey, why don't you come here? And one of the things is, why don't you become a council member? And I was like, no, I don't think so. In fact, you know, with all my colleagues and cohorts, my mentors, I talked with throughout the years, I said, wow, what are we going to do about government? I mean, government's so big and bureaucratic, it's dense. How are we going to affect change there? And we contended, man, it's going to be from the outside in. We're going to have to form a group, and they're going to have to be really active and really push agenda, whatever, for this kind of change. And I said, okay, well, that's great, you know. So when I left Leadership Kauai, you know, one of the first things I did is I worked in education. And I said, this seems like the open door first, so I'm not going to affect change. By the way, our Kupuaia focuses on change, social change in through leadership in business, in education, and in government. So, I mean, but that covers pretty much everything, right? So I said, okay, let's go to education. It seems that's where, like we just talked about, is probably the open door. And I was afforded the opportunity to. And one of the first things I did is, we transitioned our youth program, our youth program for juniors in high school to Kapaa High School. And so we went from 20 students to 1,200 students, you know, and we're now a four-year program in that school. And I stepped into the classroom. I stood next to teachers in the classroom, which is, you know, these four walls with 40 students. And I thought, my goodness, this is what's really going on. And, you know, so many people are cynical about our educational system. But until you get to actually stand in that classroom and experience the same things our students do and our teachers do, then you really don't have the right perspective, the right lens to make some judgments. And I certainly had those judgments walking into the classroom, and it opened my eyes and how I might be able to serve that school. That's what changed my mind about government. And so, you know, I said, no, no ways, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to look for the outside-in approach for government. And yet this is part of our mission to affect this. And this time around, so what happened was this time around, when they asked, hey, would you put your name in it? And it was Joanne Yukimura who asked me to submit my name. I said, yeah, you know, I think this might be a good learning opportunity. I think I have some things that I can contribute. I'm much more progressive in my life now. And you know, I want to practice leadership. I want to practice these behaviors. And you know, one of the things is in leadership is you got to be willing to stand up for your values. And I've worked on these values to the point where I believe I can die for them. That's how important they are for me. And so this is what
was... It's a powerful statement.
Yeah. I mean, it's the way we got to live. I mean, there's so many important things, but we got to choose, you know. So anyhow, I didn't know if I had to vote on this 2491 thing. And, you know, I thought, man, I hope they get rid of this bill because it's going to be a big one. And what happened, happened. You know, I was not a part of the process in the recess of that meeting. But they called us up that day and they said, look, we're recessed. We're going to try and get people in to help with this vote because we want a full council. And I said, okay, well, I got my application in. And
now, to be clear, they weren't wanting you to vote one way or another. They wanted to have a full council vote. So you weren't pushed into voting any specific way to get into that slot, but they wanted to have the full council voting on it so there wasn't a... Correct.
I mean,
there was no one lobbying you
right,
before.
Right. Here's the explanation that I got from Joanne was, we need a full council. We think that it deserves that kind of attention, and I think that you would be a good candidate for this. And this was a week before anything came down. Like I said, I didn't know if we were really going to have to vote on it or not. In fact, I thought that it was done because I had a full 24 hours between. You know, being sworn in and making a decision on Saturday.
Now, how was that 24 hours?
Oh, it was incredible. Sleepless.
Did you get a lot of phone calls, or were you kind of in a sanctuary space with yourself trying to decide
I spent about 4 hours with our county attorney.
Okay.
You know, getting briefed on things. And then, you know, I did take, I had, yeah, tons of email, tons of voicemails. And I was lobbied on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was most, you know, I had not been in a position, put myself in these kinds of positions very much where, you know, I have to disappoint a lot of people. But there were people that I revere and look up to that called me and said, look, you better not get involved with this. Recuse yourself. Recuse yourself from the vote.
Wow.
And actually, when I came in that Saturday morning, I asked my county attorney and I asked, our council services staff, county clerk, can I recuse myself out of this? Is that an option? And I was told no. You know, and so a lot of people judge me and say, hey, you know, you should have recused yourself. Well, I asked if I could as an option. I'm not saying I would have, but I asked to see what my options were. I wasn't just going there, you know, flying off the seat of my off the seat and saying, I'm going to stand on coup A for this vote. I want to know what all my options are. But it was clear for me, as I did some soul searching, especially that morning, as I said this in my testimony that morning, that, you know, I prayed to Keakua and me and my family, and I said, you know, this is something that's much bigger that I need to vote on, not only for the land and for people who say they're suffering, and people had called me and said they were suffering, but for myself.
Boy, jumping right into the thick of it.
Yeah.
So, what was your tenure on the council up to this point?
So, November 16th or 17th will make a year.
Okay.
So it's coming up.
So, now, what about the campaigning adventure? How was that? Because the first time, of course, you were appointed in. So now you've started in great choice on the color, by the way. Everyone
like
loves
that.
It's a good looking graphic. But I'm seeing the signs up. But how do you feel about sign waving? How do you feel about making campaign appearances?
Well, let me say
raising money. Is it just feel strange?
I gotta give props to all these people who have stepped up. You know, we have 21 or so candidates. In the primary, my goodness, I praise them because campaigning is
Brutal.
It's brutal. I mean, so I really wanted to acknowledge them for their effort and their willingness to serve. I really commend and respect all of them for it. And you know, for me, it took me a long time to decide if I wanted to stay. I mean, up to the day of, before I signed the papers for to run, I was undecided, mostly because family, you know, needs, and you know, I'm still connected to the work and leadership development. It is my heart and my main focus in life. But I said, you know, I think there's more that I can contribute, and so I put it in. And the one of the first things I said was, you know what, I ain't going to do what I've seen on TV, and I'm not going to do it the way I, you know, because it's really cheesy, and I don't like those statements that they make. And some of the things that happens, like a lot of talking, like, why do our leaders talk so much, but then I don't see what they're doing, you know? Like, I want to see action. And so one of the things I said in the primary is, I'm just going to, hey, you guys, I just want to focus on service. Can we serve? You know, let's be known for the work we do in the community. And so we, you know, I'm already active in the community. I run Mala Mahulia. We've been eradicating mangrove now for a couple of years. You know, we've got the ropes course still running. We've got the leadership stuff running. We've got all these little projects all in every around the island working.
Were you guys involved in the clearing of the stream by Naivalili?
That's us.
That's you guys. Yeah, okay, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I want to start taking calls.
Oh, okay.
And before that, though, I was just going down your boards, commissions, and memberships, because it's important to know the background. And I don't necessarily think you need to have a candidate that comes from a pure political background at all, because sometimes that's what you don't want. But it's also good to have some experience. But we're going to start taking phone calls right now. Do we have a phone call on the line?
Just say his name more, someone was saying.
Say his name more. Right now, we are speaking with Mason Chalk, a current member of the Kauai County Council, who was appointed during this last session, and he is a candidate for re-election coming up in November. Mason Chalk. And some of his past experiences, and thank you to the caller who suggested we get the name out there more. Let me see. The County of Kauai Drug Prevention and Coalition Chair, Kamehameha Schools Association of Kauai Director, Kamehameha Schools Alumni Association of Kauai Vice President, Kauai Planning and Action Alliance Director, Kauai Workforce Investment Board Youth Council Member, Filipino Chamber of Commerce Member, Kauai Chamber of Commerce Member, Association of Experiential Education Member, I want to hear more about that, Leadership Kauai Vice President, Ho'oulu Vehi Sustainability Advisory Council, KCC member, I hope I pronounced that right, American Heart Association First Aid and CPR Instructor, Kauai Fire Department Relief Fund Board Director, Kanui Ikapono Charter School Board Director, Founding Board Member, Fatherhood Coalition Founding Member, Kiki to Career Kauai Leadership Council, Anaina Ho, Cultural Advisor, Certified Master Facilitator of the Leadership Challenge, Association of Challenge Course Technology Member, and Malama Huleia, Steering Committee Member, and of course, Kupo Ae, President, Vice President, Owner.
President.
Yeah, fantastic. So we'd love to start taking calls, 826-7771, and we'll continue the conversation until the phones light up once again, 826-7771. So here we are. If the election turns out to suck you back in to another tour of duty, it's almost like the war of, I don't know, it's an honor, but boy. We obviously see the GMO pesticide, big pharma, I mean big ag situation out there. It's looming large. We'll get to that. But what are the other issues that are important to you aside from that? And then we'll probably kind of close there, because that's the cherry on top everyone wants to know about.
Really?
What are the
they
other?
Haven't had enough of it.
Well,
huh?
I know. What are the other issues, though? Where do you see drug rehab centers on the island, or uh-huh. you know, building sustainability or resiliency in the community? How do you want to proceed?
Sure. I mean, well, you know, there's so many issues for one, right? It's those pick and choose, and I think, as I said earlier, I think what we really have to do at the county is to start to narrow our services and that lead us to the goals that we want to accomplish. And they need to be, you know, something that we can all agree upon. I mean, be my wildest dreams that our administration, our mayor, and our council, all of us, could collectively come up with some shared outcomes that we want to focus on. So there's less of a need for us to, not to not question how we do it, but to be that much clearer all of us that this is what we want to accomplish. Of course, the biggest thing is cost of living, you know, and it's something that I think that is in on everyone. And I say that not just from the county standpoint because it affects our budget primarily. But, I mean, I think that that's what all of our community members are talking about. I mean, you know, what we know, I mean, our island is going to grow. You know, it's continuing to grow. Our population is going to be a third more in 20 years. You know, and so how are we gonna create the jobs necessary? How are we going to create the housing necessary just to house the people who are being born on this island, let alone the people who are trying to come in because this place is so sought after?
We my family and I, we had young kids, and we kind of fixed up three different houses for owners, you know, kind of fixed them up. Oh, you can rent it forever. And then, boom, sold. Moved to the next house, boom, sold. And we finally bought a place for $350,000 15 years ago, and I was having a heart attack. I thought that was the most, I thought it was a rope around my neck forever. And now, looking back at that, that's a joke.
That's right.
So I see the low-income housing finally, after I don't know how many years, 25 years or more, mm-hmm. going in, and it's going to be a very limited number.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see Kauai, through the position of a county councilor, being able to address that? Do you open up, are there lands that can be opened up? Do you float bonds? What does the county council do specifically? I think a lot of people don't really understand the limitations,
sure.
and the abilities of the county council. It's
sure. Yeah, which we should make clear.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a financial oversight of,
yeah,
of our budget.
You control the budget strings,
right.
basically
yeah. the purse strings. And so we need to be clear about what we are investing in, obviously. And what we should be investing in is some of the great work that's occurring in terms of planning. And, you know, there are some plans, some individual plans that are now coming together. You know, this past week we had a couple workshops just on planning for the different areas around our island. You know, McCullough Hill, South Shore area, Poipu area, as well as, you know, we're starting to gather people around the East Shore in the Kapa'a neighborhoods. And we know that we need to do some change because we don't want to have all the kind of sprawl that we're talking about. We don't want to have every piece of
Maui episode.
Yeah, yeah. Property taken up. And well, that's going to require some changes, you know, to our CZO. So we're really looking at the main hubs, utilizing things like form-based code, which is, you know, taking into consideration how it is we create some mixed uses so that we can actually address some of those housing needs you're talking about.
Let's take a moment and explore that, because I read that and I do a lot of reading and I didn't understand it. It was a new concept to me. And those of you just tuning in, we are speaking with Mason Chalk, current county council member and county council candidate in the upcoming election. So form-based code, that was intriguing to me.
Right. So, I mean, it's pretty new to me. I got into the council and I went to one, you know, one meeting. I said, wow, this is what they're talking about. Form-based code. What is this stuff about? And it's really just a planning, method, right? To look at how it is we're going to really handle some of our growth that's going to occur in our world, basically. But specifically on Kauai is looking at the main hubs, areas that people gather, you know, sort of like Lihue is the main hub. You know, the towns that you pass through, Kapa'a Town and so forth, and how it is we utilize those spaces and start to plan accordingly for the kind of growth that's going to come. And they need to be integrated. That's why we have, you know, the idea of complete streets, which is these walkable communities, and that you make them you design them in an appealing way. So people not only want to be there, they don't want to, you know, they want to live there. They want to, go eat there. They want to walk to the park from there. They can walk to their school, to the school from there. So these are some of the code. It's talking about the code changes that are necessary in order to allow this kind of growth.
Are you drawing inspiration from European models, or where are you getting inspiration?
What I've seen, and I just went to a planning conference, is that it's really the inspiration is driven by the community itself. And so it's a process of engaging the community and figuring out the character of and the kind of things that this community or every community around the island wants.
Oh, wow. So it's much more involving the citizens to actually jump in rather than a constitutional, representative democracy. You're actually bringing people in.
That's right. So some people, you know, don't want that.
Yeah.
You know, that all that that density in one area. They still want some of to spread it out. And so it's taking into consideration all those things, where you put your schools, where you put your developments, right, in relation to the main hub.
Right. We've got some phone calls, 826-7771. We're sitting with Mason Chalk, current county council member and candidate in the upcoming election. Go ahead, caller. What's on your mind? I'm hoping we use the new phone system, right? Nope, they dropped off. Okay, 826-7771. Okay, so we've got that. What about the situation with the real property tax? What's happening with that? How did that happen, and how are we going to fix it?
So, you know, I wasn't on the council when the cap was removed. It happened before me. I get the opportunity to try and make some changes in a positive way. You know, there's a lot of different conditions. I think what we've experienced with removing the cap is part of a multiplier effect, in an essence. You know, the market's increased, so values have gone up, thus taxes have gone up. And there were some loopholes. One thing that happened was really we could have done a little bit better in communicating the changes. The cap is gone. This is create some really outreach, some real good outreach with workshops to say, this is what it really means for you as a homeowner, or this is what it really means for you if you have two homes, or this is what it really means if you have a home and you're renting one short-term or long-term. And so a lot of the exemptions didn't come through because people weren't paying attention to them. That was what I saw when talking to people as they started to call in and email me. So they were upset about the removal of the cap. The home exemptions, they were too late for it, so they got they didn't get that. But also, the classes really affected it too. So there were some hikes in residential, which is if you have a second home, and then if you TVRs got raised too. So again, a multiplier effect. I mean, if they did this in 2008, the bottom of the market, people wouldn't be jumping up and down. The other thing that I think you need to know is that, at least according to what I've been taught, you know, from our tax office and council and through council, is that there was an inequity, and that's why they wanted to remove the cap.
Right. We've got another phone call. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. Hello. I'll try it again. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi. Good. Okay.
I am wondering what he thinks about the traffic. The traffic is ridiculous, as we all know. The next road that is being planned is a road which we're going to give to Grove Farms so they can transport people from Hanamaulu to Kukui Grove. And we have a beautiful system of roads out in the Kane Road area over there. There's all kinds of Kane Roads all over the place. Mm-hmm. What does he think about paving the Kane Roads? Or are we going to wind up with four-lane highways for all this urban sprawl that he is just talking about? I would like to hear his opinion on that.
Thank you, caller. Great question.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, I sit in the traffic too, man. It's terrible. You know, I've met with our DOT, State Transportation, and the plan that this gentleman is talking about is exactly what is being proposed. The problem is that it was taking too long, and we need to get on it. And so this is, you know, the majority of the roads that are experiencing this congestion are our state roads. And so we need to lobby our state legislators. We need to lobby the state and the transportation agencies to see that we can get more funding to Kauai in order to deal with some of this.
This is a great kind of a illumination on what we're just talking about. It's not like the county council can just decide to open up roads. Mm-hmm. They deal with the financing. So how do you interface with DOT, and what would that look like? Mm-hmm. And what kind of support would you need from the community or the citizens mm-hmm. in able to go with a completed package? What's the power of the council in this problem?
Well, you know, we speak for the people. We're the ones closest to the people. And so I think that's one of our major roles, is to listen to what people have to say and to gain their mana'o, listen to the ideas that they have, which are often good ideas, but take it further to interact with them and say, okay, so what I hear you saying is that you want to open up these. So what does that look like for you? You know, like why would you choose that area? And to take those ideas and ask, I mean, we've got some really smart people out there that have given us options. So you still go back to the tax thing. You know, I mean, you know, Mr. Carl Imperato, he's come up and helped me. Just here, this is what you need to do to reinstate the cap. And here's boom, boom, boom. He gave me the consumer price index, everything. I'm like, thank you so much. We need those kinds of tools and outside thinking, because it typically doesn't happen from the inside, right? And so we need that kind of creativity, innovation, that constant feedback. I love listening to what people have to say and what we can do to. I'm sorry, I didn't really get there, but go ahead if you need to.
Oh, no, no, you can finish up. To the listeners, we've got a new phone system, so what I do is click you on. You'll hear us through your phone as opposed to the radio. That means you're the next caller in the queue. I will not turn up. It's called the POT, P-O-T. I don't know why, but I will not turn it up until we've wrapped up the current thought soundbite that we're doing. So there is a caller online.
I'll just finish up.
You're the next caller.
You know, I really feel like it is that we try and get more cars off the road as well.
Okay.
You know, one of the ideas, just in relation to what the gentleman was talking about, was to keep that our main road for visitors, more or less, and the locals on that other road that's being talked about. But there are other ways, right? I mean, we make our planning work for us better so that we have more options when transit, right? So
interesting. I was just at a First Hawaiian Bank State of the State and State of Kauai meeting a couple days ago, and I met Mr. Costa and Ms. Kanoho, and they were talking about some new thoughts about shuttles in Haena. Are you familiar with that at all?
Right. Yeah, I think a private donor that might help out with it. I think that's necessary. If we could go into partnership with our local, in the area, our hotels,
and local businesses.
And local businesses. I mean, that could take a lot of heat off of the Ka'e Beach. Have you been down there? It's terrible. Boy.
Caller, you're on the air. What would you like to do?
Okay,
ask a question?
Keep it short.
Okay.
I think perhaps that we need to wean ourselves away from the State Department of Transportation and put some muscle into our own resources and make county roads instead of state roads. The state roads, the state contributes 80% and the feds contribute 80%. We have to do with 20% and pave those roads that are already compacted and out there, and has been mentioned by several people, including Guru Glenn Mickens, who thinks it is absolutely necessary.
We did have some real success.
The roads, and the county has to do it on their own without the state. The state are a bunch of vandals. They have just built 200 yards of extension at Kōʻuku Stables Road, and it's taking them 8 months. How long is it going to take?
I had a friend say that the little bridge by Healthy Hut was one of the most expensive bridges per foot in the country, the tiny little 50-foot bridge. We did have some success a few years back out in Polaholi, and I can't remember the group that did it, but there was something that had been quagmired forever, and a group of citizens and business people got together and actually made it happen. So you're talking about more direct citizen involvement? Caller? Or not, you're gone. 826-7771. We're talking with Mason Chalk. There's a little static in my ears. Hopefully it's not in yours. We have a new phone line. Thanks to the lightning strike last Tuesday. But anyway, 826-7771. Okay, let's talk about meth, ICE, drug rehab facilities. What do we do? Do we ship? Do we brew the problem here and then ship them off? Do we deal with it here? Do we have the means, the facilities? Can we turn it into a positive in any way?
Sure. I mean, you know, you're talking about the drug rehabilitation center for the county's proposing, and you know, I'm a supporter. However, I think that there's a little bit more planning and coordination between partners that are involved in this planning process that needs to occur. This is a lot of money that we're going to be, putting into a facility, and we're going to have to hire a provider, you know, someone to take care of it. And we're talking about, I can't recall the right numbers, but I think it's like 8 to 10 max, you know, beds.
Which is about probably a thousandth of a percent.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's very specialized, you know, kind of rehabilitation and need. We spend a lot of money sending them away, and no other island really has determined that they're equipped to do it. Again, I'm a proponent. I just think that there's a lot more that we need to consider in the process before making that final determination.
Okay.
I'm always open to talking and hearing. What do I think? I think prevention is the key. Obviously, with the kind of work that I do, and we talked about this earlier.
Head them off at the pass.
We've got to get them
early. Yeah.
You know, the cost savings is exponential if we can get our kiki to make proper choices early on in their lives. And that means we got to surround them with the right kinds of experiences and choices so that they can move in down the right path. And, you know, I mean, there's varying levels that, you know, I mean, we've all gone through life and experienced things to certain extents, but to be resilient enough to take those experiences and learn from them. That's what true leadership is about.
I've been talking to a lot of people just about politics in general in Kauai, and one of the catchphrases that I kept hearing was butter. There's so much butter. And I just thought that was interesting. What they meant was, you know, even their favorite candidates were talking, but they weren't answering yes or no. There was so we're in this time where everyone's kind of afraid to really come out and say yes or no. And one of the favorite interviews I'd done in the last couple of years was Tulsi Gabbard. And I had a gigantic list, and she just went, yes, no, yes, no. And, you know, some stuff I didn't agree with, some I did, but I was fascinated at a politician willing to just say yes or no rather than trying to juggle everyone. And I hear you say you jumped in. Your very first act was jumping in and having to do a yes or a no.
Well, this is what it comes down to me. I mean, I have a set of values that I've, again, worked real hard on, diligently on, to unfold what I believe defines who I am and what I'm willing to die for. It's a part of the work that I do. It's embedded in an acronym, so I can share that with you.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Enlights. I remember that from your meeting. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So you know, it's an acronym called Enlights. It's kind of tied back to the whole Kupua'e theme of unfolding towards the light.
Before you get started,
go ahead.
It's just about top of the hour, so I want to say you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. We have sitting councilman Mason Chalk in here, and he's up for re-election as well. And we've had a great hour. We're going to continue taking phone calls at 826-7771. It's been so information-packed that, you know, usually we have a lot of calls, so I think people are just listening, trying to get to know you. So we're talking about your acronym, Enlights, and it stuck in my head, so it works.
No,
so let's jump in.
Yeah, and just for the record, I'm it's not a re-election for me. I've never been elected. And
thank you. It's his first election. He was appointed the first time, yeah. Thanks for clarifying that.
So Enlights, it's a set of values that, I've worked with. It stands for the work I do, but also who I am. E is for enrich and empower. I believe that in relation to, I'm going to put this in the context of how I see it translated into government, the government work I do, is that at every opportunity we need to allow others to lead. And this means for government work to kind of unfold government, to deregulate government in a way that opens it up to the public more. We can't do everything. We never could, and we shouldn't. And so we have strong associations around our island. We need to empower those people. We need to empower our citizens to do a lot of what needs to be done. It costs too much money for us to do it. It costs too much time for us to do it. So that's E, enrich and empower others. N is for now, not later. You know, we have the opportunity, and the opportunity is in the present moment, and that's what this stands for. It's we have to take it, you know, it's like carpe diem, right? You have to seize the day and live for today, and that brings much more meaning to the things we do. Okay, so L is for love, right? Or aloha, right? And this is, to me, the most powerful value in the universe. I believe it is the power of this value that will move Kauai, because it's so inherent in our community, for no matter what, because we all share this aloha. And if we remember that in the process, then it'll bring us back to the best decisions that we can possibly get together. So that's L. I is for insight and inspiration. You know, I think the future is about innovation. I think it's about creativity. And I think that this is a value that needs to be more prevalent in our process. Our process, our meetings, they don't drive any creativity. I mean, how much can you get done in 12 hours of one meeting talking about the same thing? And so we need more rule changes in county government, so that it'll involve more people and more interactive on a different level, so that we can actually look towards actually tangible solutions and working towards them in collaboration. So that's I. G, continuous growth. I'm an advocate, obviously, with leadership development, but growth for me is a difficult thing for anyone. I don't know if you remember growing and growing pains. Well, this stuff is uncomfortable. Change is difficult and sometimes painful. And so we need to embrace it. And this would mean that we we continue to seek that opportunity for change and growth, but in a positive way. So we know that we're moving in the right direction if we're growing. And we're willing to have difficult conversations along the way. Yeah, but we still come back to aloha. So that's G. All right? G, where am I? T?
T.
Truth. Trust. This is what's missing in government. Trust is missing. We need to regain the trust of our community. And the only way, again, as I said, is to open up the relationships between our community and really have them be a part of the process. Right? And truth. There's truth in seeking out truth. I mean, one of the things I think we're suffering from is lack of transparency. And just because a lot of our things go to the courtroom. You know, we've suffered heavily with our legal woes. And so these are some of the things that we got to address.
It's safe to say, too, that more often than not, the person that has the heaviest artillery is going to win because that's kind of the way it's set up. We can still have a dark horse, true moment happen in the courtroom, but a lot of times the deep pockets of the entities involved are going to directly affect the outcome.
Yeah.
So.
And transparency. I mean, if it could stand for something else, I'd say transparency in finding the truth, because we have so many executive sessions that don't include the community.
Yeah.
And so.
And that creates suspicion. I could just tell you, as a talk show host, it's one of the biggest things people are upset with. What's happening in there? Why can't we know? Are we not grown up enough? Or are we going to...
I mean, the only reason we should be going there is for those lawsuit strategies and numbers. And, you know, that's it, right?
Yeah.
And then S is for service. I'm an indentured servant. I mean, I'm here because I love this island. I love the place. It is, you know, I'm Kamaaina. I'm Native Hawaiian. You know, I love the resources. I want this for future. And I've been serving for a long time. I will continue to. You know, I'll continue to serve no matter what happens in this election. It's just who I am.
We got a phone call. Go ahead, caller. And thank you so much for holding. If you have a radio, you can turn it down now, and you are on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, hi. Let me walk away from my radio. I wanted to ask Mason, what about getting the council to do the ropes course together?
I asked the same thing three weeks ago. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Did you say you did it already?
No, I had asked Mason at the meet and greet because that just seemed like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I mean, that way they could really utilize your leadership and then the walls that have created that are so obvious, division part could come together. I mean, would they do it? Are they open to that?
Well, you know, I mean, if I had a chance to ask each one of them.
I can't hear Mason's answer. So.
Can you hear me?
Hmm.
Uh-oh.
Hello?
Hi, I'm here.
Yeah, you can't hear Mason's answer?
I can't hear Mason, no.
Oh, can you hear me now?
His phone's off.
Barely.
Huh. I'm speaking right into it here.
Let me try these. How about that?
No. Not really.
No.
So sorry.
New phone system.
Let me see. Mason, I'm going to pass you my mic over. Just see. Can you hear now? Can Mason want to say a word?
Can you hear me now?
That's way better.
Okay. We just had to turn it way up. Go ahead. Okay, so do you think they would be open to that, was the question the caller asked?
You know, I can't answer for them.
Yeah.
You know, I
would you be willing to do it if they were?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, let me just put this into perspective, though. This work is ongoing work, and even for myself. It doesn't happen in 3 hours on the ropes course. While great, and a great first step, and I would totally take them, you know, up there and do whatever I can. I actually did some work with the council a couple of years back before I got onto the council.
Yeah.
But it was, again, a snapshot in time. It was about 3 hours
or
so.
It puts the council in an interesting place because it puts you in an elevated and superior position, and you'd almost probably need a third party
that's clear
on the work that wouldn't, you know, put them on. Yeah. Any other questions, caller?
I just hope we can get some new energy in, and it's just so discouraging politics right now. It's really hard to get enthusiastic about it, you know, and there's Mason and the possibility of Dustin and Felicia and some of the new people, but that it feels like the community is just cemented in with the good old boys, and is it even possible to get beyond that?
Well, you know, let me try and answer that in the way that I would.
Thank you, caller.
And that is that you know, I'm an optimist, and as I was talking about growth, right, it's, I kind of see, at least my personal growth, it's been a series of overcompensations in my life. You know, I learn, I go in one direction, I learn a little bit more, and I go back in another direction until I hit that middle road and understanding. I think that's what we're experiencing a little bit on our island, is really answering or asking some hard questions about who we are and what's important to us, like what's most important to this island, right? And it's causing some discomfort, and that's okay. Because discomfort is okay as long as we don't leave the room, right? And so that's what we need. We need people to stay in the room, stay committed, love each other, and look towards that solution. So, you know, it may be that you don't get everything you want out of this election. Let me tell you, we're going to have a lot of learning out of that. We're going to learn a lot, and we're going to do better next time because we know.
I actually had written that. Well, first of all, I'm going to ask one of the callers just texted in, and they said, do you always believe in growth? Do you think there's value in slow growth or reaching a plateau and then maintaining it, and are we there yet? What's your feeling on growth on Kauai?
Sure. So, yeah, I don't want to take it out of context of what I think growth is, because
there was personal growth we were just talking about, right. Emotional, physical, and spiritual growth, and now we're talking about growth of building permits and businesses, sure. Et cetera. That was the specific format
gotcha.
That Texter was talking about.
And so let me just reframe this here. Let me talk about positive growth. In my opinion, growth is inevitable. It is part of what the aspect of change, you know, is about. And I do believe slow growth is important. You know, one of the let me just give you a formula. I call it R equals D plus S, okay? And R stands for resistance to change. Yeah, it equals the distance plus the speed of which you try and affect that change. So how much we resist change equals how fast and how far we go. So in reference to stepping out of our comfort zone and really running into growth, right, the growth opportunity, if we go too far too fast, we can go right off the cliff. That's what I always say. And so I believe that there is opportunity for us to take small steps in these growth opportunities, because we can make mistakes and align and shift. We can be flexible in that process, and we don't overcompensate too much, like I said earlier, in order to make some big drastic mistakes that will hurt us severely, and then we overcompensate more. And so I agree with you. Slow growth, small steps, small wins is what I'm looking for. However, by nature, growth is inevitable.
We also had a caller text in, and they said they wanted a yes or no, if you could. Mm-hmm. They're curious as to your opinion on agricultural hemp on the island of Kauai, industrial and agricultural hemp, not cannabis, not for pot smoking.
Sure.
That's another question, but industrial agricultural hemp to be used both as food and as manufacturing problem, paper, fabric, etc.
Yeah, now I don't know too much about it, but
are you open to the concept of it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, what I hear is that this is a great reconditioning of our soil opportunity, along with other products that we can export. So, I mean, let me just tell you, I'm progressive in the sense that I want to look at everything. I don't think anything should be turned away, because it's an opportunity. And that's part of what challenged the process is in the leadership paradigm, is we got to look for opportunities. And we're cautious in them when we take small steps, like I said, towards seeing if we can. We adjust if we have to. So, yeah, I'm open. Let's look at things. Let's look at solutions together, alternative solutions.
Okay, we had another, right in conjunction with that, we had another texter asking about medical marijuana. Mm-hmm. What are your feelings on medical marijuana?
Well, I mean, I think it's needed. That's why it's called medical marijuana. And I mean, you know, I answered this at the forum. My grandparents both suffered from cancer, both died. In fact, majority of my family. And, you know, they suffered such, and when they were able to get some help, this is what it was. And so I'm an advocate for it. Do I think it should be used abusively? No, I don't think so. You know, I think we need to be careful, because like any other thing, I mean, there's some stuff out there right now that's pretty detrimental to you, and we got to do better at the prevention part of it. So, no, I think it's something that we should look into further.
Going backwards about 10 minutes in the conversation, on Kauai right now, we're reaching this moment where it's, you know, we're the kind of the focal point of the world as far as big agriculture and their ability to come in and affect change in a town, pesticide use, how much of a stake should the community have at the table deciding what businesses come to the island, whether in the old days it was a big box store or a fast food restaurant, and there are municipalities, cities, and communities around this nation that actually create laws that say no. So we're here. Do you feel like that the island of Kauai, from planning department, from transportation, parks, everything, are we at a place where it's the old versus new? The old paradigm, we had one caller mention good old boys, but it's good old people. It's people that are entrenched in their positions, and they become, you know, they can become petty kingdoms in a way. So is it the old fighting the new? Is it outside versus inside? Is it a wealth disparity problem? Like, what... Where is the shift going to take place? And then we got a few more calls,
yeah,
too.
Let me just say that what I think it is a little bit of everything that you said.
Okay.
Yeah, and, you know, I like to reference it, at least with the work I do, that it's about fixed mindsets again, you know, and you know, the only way to get people to think differently, to act differently, is to give them options. And right now, we're not in that space of giving options. And we're headed there, I feel like. I mean, I think that this, you know, you took that, the pesticide and the GMO issue, and brought it forward for us to talk about. And in that context, it's really about how it is we can problem solve. We've kind of stormed, you know. We've got a form. And, you know, the county stepped in and done some of the work for that. To give us some direction, but I think this answer is going to come from the side, you know, and I don't think we should stop. I mean, in the meantime...
From outside or the side?
From the side.
Okay.
Meaning I think our community members, our groups, our advocates need to get together, continue to seek out the solutions, and it can be supported by government, but on a different way. At least right now, we know that it's this issue sits with the state. So... we need to continue to look at for the solutions, and if there are people who are suffering, and they've told me that they are, I've heard it, I've seen it from people who've talked to me, then we need some data, because some people will not change without those numbers. They won't even talk to you. And I know even the science of it can get skewed, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying for Kauai, for us, in this pesticide issue, that we need to continue to work towards a solution together. And it's going to be about bringing us people together for that.
We got another phone call, 826-7771. We're sitting with Mason Chalk, appointed for county council at the last session and now up for election for the first time. And here in the studio, 826-7771. You can text questions if you're too shy or too busy to actually call in to 808-635-9382. We've had three so far, so good job out there. And we do have a caller on the air. Go ahead. Please, new phone system. Let's try again. Hello?
Hi.
Hey, okay. Guess what? I figured it out, and it's been my problem the last three times. I wasn't double punching, so I'm gonna own this one. Okay. I know this voice. It's all yours. Go ahead. You're with Mason Chalk.
Thank you, Mason. Hey, I'm a huge supporter of yours. Thank you so much for your good work. And my question is going back to the GMO issue. It so surprised me that the pro GMO folks are calling it the most divided issue, and it is divided, but I really feel like it has really united a lot of people to come together. And I just wonder, you're from the west side, right?
No, I'm not, actually. From the east.
Oh, you're not?
Sure. Yeah, I live in Wailoa Homesteads.
Shoot, I can't hear you.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Boy, I don't know. We've got a little, I've got it maximized. So she's asking, are you from the west side? And Mason did answer he was currently residing in Wailoa Homestead, so or house lots.
Okay. I just want to know, when he goes out to the west side and he meets the folks that, let's say, work with the GM, you know, on the GMO field, I guess my question is, does he feel that they're open to maybe switching a different crop, or, you know, that maybe doesn't require so much pesticides, or do those people that work for those companies feel like that they've got so many benefits from those companies that it's a hard thing to let go of? I just don't understand why people, especially Hawaiians or local people that work for these companies, feel like spraying all of that poison could be a good thing when, you know, a lot of them, I feel like this is the plantation era has kind of taken over again, like it was in the early 1900s, and it just doesn't feel like the right way for us to go when we could be growing other crops. I guess I'm having a hard time making my question, though. Do you feel good energy from those people on the west side, or do you feel like they're not very kind to you when you go over in their territory, maybe to campaign or talk story?
Yeah, you can hear me? I just want to make sure you can hear me okay.
Sort of, very softly. I can take the question off the air, actually.
That'd probably be the best. Okay, thank you. We'll continue to figure out what's happening with the phones. Go ahead. Yeah. And we've got about 5 more minutes max, and then Mason's going to be hitting the road. So if you're going to call quick, go ahead. So after your decision to proceed the way that you were moved to in your heart, do you feel that there have been repercussions on the west side, or are you able to kind of transcend or step beyond that to the future?
Sure. I mean, that's a great question. You know, one of the first things I did, because, you know, at Leadership Choir, bringing the cross-section of people together over the years, you get to meet everyone. And one of the first things I did was I called up all the people that I knew were going to be pissed off with me. So I said, hey, you know, I know you're upset, but let's continue to work towards some solution. You know, I thought this is the right step right now, and let's continue. And you know, most of what I got was, okay, yeah, but not right now. And so I have waited. You know, I think that it is starting to open. So to try to answer the caller's question, I think that things have opened up a little bit. I mean, I still go out to the west side and feel totally welcome by people. And in fact, I don't know if, you know, from campaign perspective, I'm against sign waving, but I've been doing it because my campaign said, look, if you want to continue, you're getting out there and you're waving signs every day.
That's Kauai style. That's the way
and
it is.
On the west side, they embrace you. It's so much aloha. It's amazing. You know what I mean? And so I love those people. I think just to answer part of the other question there is, I think that there is openness, but people also need the choice to be placed in front of them. And it needs to be easy for people to make a choice. I mean, we're talking about on different levels. It could be the same out here on another issue. But our society has conditioned us to not have those choices available to us. And it's too difficult to make it. Because if it is, it means, hey, get rid of the house, get rid of the car, get rid of, you know, your lifestyle that you've been conditioned to grow up with and lead.
I know you got to hit the road because we got an extra 20 minutes out of you. But real quick, we had one person just wanted a very brief thing. Is shooting something that you support on the island in the form of, say, the shotgun range or a pistol range? What is your feeling about the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms and how it would transfer to Kauai?
Well, yeah, not one that I've thought through all the way, but let me just say that, you know, I'm a hunter.
Okay.
I'm a fisherman.
Okay.
And, you know, I think that those are important aspects to consider in any of this decision process. But I also see how it's used negatively. I hurts people, kills people, and it's a huge concern for me. And, you know, I think that we need to be very cautious about what it is and how we invest in it. I don't know what the solutions are there, you know, in terms of how we can have more prevention for the violence and the use of guns in a negative way. But I think that we need to continue to look at that in a creative way. You know, I hear all the time new inventions coming out with, you know, recognition.
Bio recognition, et cetera, yeah.
Right, those things. But the truth is, it just gets into people's hands that use it in a bad way all the time. And I think that, you know, we really need to be cautious about it because, as you can see, a lot of control being, you know, utilized. I'm not just talking about guns anymore. I'm talking about control in general in society. But it leads to the same kind of aspect that you're talking about with how guns are used.
So. You got time for one last question?
Okay, sure.
Okay, you don't have to. Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Talk story session. So.
Hello? Hello?
Oh.
Hello. Hello.
Hello, we can hear you.
Oh, hi.
Hi. We're short on time, so if you can make it fairly quick, you're our last question for Mason Chalk today.
Okay, I feel like Mason likes to go in the water, but he doesn't like to get wet.
Okay.
Because every one of his answers are not complete answers. They're like, I think, but it's like the issue of research on hemp. He should be well-versed in everything hemp can and cannot do by now because it's been on the table for so long. Can you still hear me?
Yes, and I don't. Our phones are still being worked out. But as a citizen, would you be willing to direct Mason or his campaign to links that you felt were fair and well balanced and indicative of the future of industrial hemp?
Well, I would like to see him make real commitments to what he thinks and not say I haven't looked into it enough. You know, we need to know exactly how people feel so we know exactly how to vote.
Fair enough. And we did talk about that at the beginning of the show, just politicians in general.
Yeah, otherwise everybody sounds like a politician. You know? I'm sitting on a fence, and if enough people, you know, tell me that that's the way I should think, then that's the way I'll think.
But well, not to answer for Mason, but I could tell you just then, it's interesting.
I can barely hear you.
Yeah, we have everything up full blast, so I guess I'll leave it up there. But when sometimes a politician says, I don't know, and they really do, and they don't want to say, and sometimes they say, I don't know, I'm going to go learn about that. And, you know, they're very different. What I'm feeling here face-to-face is, huh, I'm going to go learn about that. So,
yeah.
But your point is very well taken, and we did talk about it at the beginning.
Okay,
we do want fair, straight answers. So thanks, caller. It's a great point.
We're still getting so close to election time that we really need to know who's sitting on a fence and who is, you know, has a very clear idea of what we can and cannot do to move forward.
Fair enough. Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Mason, yes or no, do you feel that the choice you made in your vote... Do you still stand by that?
Yeah, I guess it's part of my processing and the kind of facilitator that I am, that I always try and look at all aspects of a question.
Yeah.
And so let me just be real clear. Yes.
Yes.
I hope that helps.
Okay. Where do people get in contact with you? Where do they find information about you? I believe you have one site, Mason...
For Kauai.org.
And then you have a Facebook presence.
Yes,
just under your name. And do you dare give out the phone number of yourself or your campaign
absolutely.
Manager?
Oh, yeah, give me a call.
651-7013. I always feel like that says a lot when someone puts the phone number out. Yeah, that's a daring thing. Thank you so much.
Okay.
You got to hit the road?
Yeah, I'm out.
Okay.
Thank you.
We are going to take a little musical break, and we'll be back after this. I've got another guest in the studio that we're going to have some fun with. And Mason Chalk, thank you so much.
Mahalo.
Mason
Carlos,
for Kauai.org and Mason Chalk on Facebook. Yeah.
Okay. Aloha.
Right on. Aloha. Let me see. Where's that music? Well, that was absolutely not who I thought was going to be making music. But anyway, we do have a guest in the studio who's not going to do a lot of talking. She just shined me the flashing eyes of terror going, don't make me. But basically, she is a young person. How old are you?
15.
She's 15. And one of the great things we love doing here in here at KKCR is just having people come in. So I'm not going to embarrass her, but I met one of her parents, and we were just talking about the radio station. And I said, hey, we'd love to have young people come in and sit and see what we do and see if it's something they might want to do. And there's a lot of opportunity here during the right moments for the right people to come in and explore this, and it's a very powerful thing. So I don't want to put you on the spot. I don't know if you want to say anything. Do you want to say anything? Just hi to anyone? Or do you want to keep low profile? I'm okay with that, too.
I don't really know.
Okay. You can just hang in the background. Anyway, 826-7771, the lightning storm last Tuesday did knock out our phones, and we ended up getting a whole new phone system here, so we're getting the ghost out of the machine. We've just about got it perfectly, and it's just exponentially better than the last system that we had for, I don't know, 18 years almost. So thank you to the lightning bolt, to the bolt from the blue. I'm curious what you thought about Mr. Chalk coming in. And I also want to send out the invitation to any of the other candidates or current county council members. We've got a couple shows left. So especially those who have not been on the air on KKCR a lot, but it's a week-by-week thing, and we just extend that opportunity out to all the candidates, both current sitting council men and women, and also the running candidates. So if you're interested, please call the KKCR office at 826-7774, and we will find some space for you on one of the political talk shows or social issues talk shows or just the talk shows. A lot of people with a lot of interest here in just trying to get as much exposure to all the candidates as possible so the people of Kauai can really make a good decision. I'm going to do a little station business, and we will be back after this. And thanks for your patience as we learn to surf the new phone lines.
KKCR, Hale, KAQA, Kilauea, K284AL, Haleiwa.
Coldwell Banker, Bali High Realty, and Hanalei, serving Kauai since 1978, providing personalized real estate sales and rental services. Coldwell Banker, Bali High Realty, also supports KKCR and the Kauai Independent Food Bank. More information at balihigh.com or by calling 826-7244.
Aya's Garden, all-natural garden and greenhouse supply, in Kapa'a, down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. Fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds, garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Aya's Garden on Facebook.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com or 639-3456.
If you'd like to learn more about the 2014 political candidates, please visit the KKCR.org audio archives page. There you will find links to political forums recorded live, Kauai Community Radio, keeping you informed. Visit KKCR.org.
Anyway, we're back, and we do have kind of a student guest in just to kind of see what we do at the station. And throughout the 17 years I've been blessed to be involved with the station, we've had so many different people come in and end up going off and doing their own shows through this one and through the many others. It's a great opportunity, and there's always something to do here. And it brings up a good point. Starting next week, we're going to be having our biannual fund drive. And one of the great things about being a commercial-free community radio station is we don't have to worry about upsetting our advertisers. So we get to say what we want, and we don't have to worry about offending somebody that's paying for the airwaves, because you, the listeners, pay with your listening and also with your generous donations to the station. And that's the type of thing that if you are happy, you should let us know. And if you're not happy, it's always great to call in and say, hey, you know, why don't you think about this or look at this situation or cover this topic or, you know, I like what you're doing here, but I don't there. We're very open. Great staff. A lot of people have been here, you know, over a decade or more, and a lot of new faces and voices all the time as well. So if you're interested in being involved with KKCR as a volunteer or you just like to help with the station, coming up next week, we've got a fun drive going on that's great, and it allows us to open the airwaves up to the community for, I don't know, we've probably got over 60 shows or more, and we don't have to worry about offending advertisers, but we do have underwriters, and those are people that have a very specific window of audio time to come on, you know, in a very simple way and just basically describe their business or offer a message to the community. So that's a great way to participate in the fund drive, too, is being an underwriter or a wave rider. So if you're interested, call the office at 826-7771. And the phone lines, as much as they can be, are now open at 826-7771. And we've got a lot of local politics going on, but also we've got all sorts of interesting things happening in the world. We've got the Ebola situation, and there's different camps. There's the pure denial camp. There's the total fear porn camp. There's the World Illuminati conspiracy camp that thinks it's all a false flag, and everyone in between. So if you've got thoughts on that, I'm curious to hear them. Or if you'd like to talk about any of Hawaii's issues, the country, or the world, you can dial right in at 826-7771. We also have a toll-free line for the mainland or the outer islands at 866-275-1112. And we do stream at www.kkcr.org. And I think that was Tracy Chavone who did the little PSA about the political archive. The great thing about that is if you missed any of the candidate forums over the past month or so, we have them on the KKCR's political archive website, and you can get there through www.kkcr.org. And I wish they were longer. I wish the candidates and the incumbents had a little bit of a longer time to talk. It's hard to figure out in a minute to 2 minutes, you know, how they really feel. And I do understand that one caller that said, hey, we want more yeses or knows, so we can make a decision. Yeah. As a young person, and I'm not going to say your name unless you want to, but do you follow what's happening on Kauai with the drug rehab centers not being allowed or being allowed in different places, or the GMO pesticide issue, Bill 2491? What's important to you?
Right now, I'm just, there's always something new that's coming up that I'm having to learn about, and it's interesting to me to see all these things that I hadn't known about that just, you know, are there, and the more that I see, the more worried I seem to get, or the more relieved I see that something's happening about it. And it's just a big process to me of knowing all these things that I haven't heard of before, seen yet.
Where do you get information at your age and level of school and just consciousness? Where do you go to find stuff out?
Well, I'm actually homeschooled, so a lot of the information I get is from either books or from the internet. And it's just a lot of either on my own researching different things that are happening around, or just talking to people in general, too.
And for the listeners just tuning in, we've just got a young person in the studio that wanted to come in and see what we do and was perhaps interested in working with the station here in the future. So I'm really happy. How old are you?
I'm 15 years old.
Okay, so what would you say is an issue that is of most concern to you right now, whether it's an island issue or a world issue?
To me, there are so many different issues that are going on that I care about.
What do you stress on, though? Does anything give you stress? You said some things made you a little distressed.
Some things like people not being able to have enough food, or just right now I've been noticing that, like, housing situation, some people, it's like very expensive to pay rent and things like that. And just all over, I've been hearing more about this Ebola problem, and a friend of mine and I are really concerned about it, and I still don't know as much as I should, but I'm trying to learn as much as I can about it.
Yeah, I think we'll be getting an ongoing education as we move forward on that. What about on the positive side, as a person your age, what is something that gives you a lot of hope or you're inspired to go learn more about it or become involved in it?
Well, right now, alongside the election, as I see it progress, I've been noticing how some people have been super involved and super active and super working really well with the community, and others have been working with different organizations. And sometimes it's just a learning process to see the voting and how people campaign and stuff like that.
Different styles. And are there any candidates that excite you or are interesting?
Yes, I'm very excited to see that Felicia Cowden is voting. And I do like Mason Chalk. I don't know as much as I would like to know about him. But I am very excited.
Oh, that's fantastic. We've got a caller. I'm taking calls at 826-7771. And it is a live call-in show, so you can talk about anything you'd like from any angle or perspective. There's actually nothing off limits. So go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Everything okay here? Let me get my radio.
Now I can hear you. We just had the technician come in and adjust things, so hopefully the phone is coming out a little louder. Can you hear us well?
I can hear you here on the phone.
Okay. Would you say it's a good level?
I'm not hearing that well on the phone, but anyway, can you turn that phone back up so I can hear you?
I've got it on maximum right now. How's that?
Okay. I like that Illuminati one. What's
okay.
your take on that? Like the World Bank and world domination by the two powerful families.
I don't know. I might have to go into hiding after I did. I've been doing the show for 17 years. I do a tremendous amount of research. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I wouldn't consider myself. I'm spiritual. I don't consider myself religious or atheist, and I'm very much in favor of everyone's right to practice religion or not as they see fit. I was very involved in stock trading at a broker's thing for a while, for about 5 or 6 years, and I do a lot of research. I did a lot of work with distressed companies. That was one of my favorite areas of investing, and through that I came at it not from a mathematical background, but from a kind of a psychological and sociological background and lots of research. So I really believe that there is massive conspiracy happening right now, but not the kind you run out and take your tinfoil hat and put it on. The word conspiracy just means breathing together, and you can imagine a boardroom of men or women and whoever, you know, in a board making their secret proprietary knowledge decisions to go do stuff, and you can imagine that at every level. I know there's suppression in the gold, and, well, my personal belief is there's suppression in the gold and silver markets right now in precious metals, because silver is selling for the price has been deflated to less than the cost of getting silver out of the ground. It doesn't make sense, the jubilant highs of the stock market, and certainly the way we're proceeding here as a nation with Ebola. I just read an article from someone that had connection with the CDC saying we weren't even following, or the CDC wasn't even following its own disease protocols. I find it intriguing that the borders right now of all times are the most open they've ever been. And without commenting on the rights or needs of human spiritual citizens, but the border itself is a mechanism of safety and protection, I find it fascinating that we're fast-tracking people through the border without decent health screenings and allowing them to fly on planes without having proper ID, etc.
Well, it's in their interest to have.
Yeah. So I think there's stuff happening, and rather than conspiracy, I just think it's business done by massive corporations and banks and even groups of citizens that believe in religion or believe that we shouldn't have religion forced on us. So people are out there trying to do their thing. The sad thing is, I think the majority of people feel powerless and disenfranchised or disempowered. So they tend to let things happen to them or at them, and then they'll complain or you know, feel helpless. But the fact is, we just had Mason Chalk in, and he said, get out there, you know, call people up, be a pain in the butt, you know, make noise. So, yeah. There's stuff going down, and I don't believe it's all natural. I think it's some of it is by design.
You just have your people have to make the choice. People have to make the choice to be something besides a bump on the log. Take action.
Well, I support, you know, maybe not everyone is meant to be a warrior. You know, maybe some people are meant to be, you know, a Zen Buddhist and just sit passively watching. And there's beauty and value in that, too. It's, I think the real test is knowing who you are. Are you a person that wants to surrender? Or are you a person that wants to manifest change or, you know, and then act on it? You know, so I don't know. I don't usually like to talk about that stuff myself here, but you asked, so you got it, yeah.
Why do you think that you could be in danger if you didn't?
I'll tell you what. For about 15 years, I had the radio show, and I really felt like, you know, I was on a mission to do good and try to help and save and all that. And then I don't know, something happened. Felicia came in. I mentored Felicia for a while, and she was a natural, so at some point she was ready to go, and I was just... I've been here so long, I wanted to step aside and get some new blood in. And during that period of time that I was away, about a year and a half, I just kind of, I don't know if I grew or changed or what, but I'm not so much interested in pushing my agenda or telling people how it is or how it should be. I'm more fascinated at maybe trying to help people find a path to get good information, to know when they're being, you know, BS'd by PR or propaganda firms or politicians or state media, you know. And so do they cut and paste off the internet to find their own ethics and morals, or do they actually go, wait a minute, I don't trust that picture, I don't trust that story? And you know, I think a lot of people are waking up too. So I'm kind of like, even with the GMO issue here and the pesticides, I'm as fascinated at the process that we're all going through and how some of us get entrenched, some get angry, some are hopeless. You know, we worry about 600 jobs, but we don't worry about the future, or we totally worry about the future, but we don't care about those people that are working. And, you know, it's kind of it's what we're supposed to do here on the planet, I guess.
Yeah, unless you want to just be another bump in the log.
Yeah. So, I know, I had an old friend who said, you probably can't say this on the radio without getting red flagged anymore, but back then, and this was 30 years ago, he said you either have to be a terrorist or a monk. And what he meant by that was take action or completely surrender. Don't grumble and sit there and look and go, dang, those ranking, ranking, ranking. So you take action or you surrender. If you're somewhere in the middle, you're going to get ill health, is what he said, because you're not being true to yourself. So you sound like a take action person.
Yeah, I'm in my like 43rd year of war with the system, just in every way, in education, health insurance.
How do you do that? How do you fight as a soldier in your war for consciousness, it sounds like?
Usually a situation presents itself where there's a need of another person or myself for, like, health care coverage, for instance. And that is like Kaiser Health Insurance streamlines people through their emergency room, and they take $3,000 out of the coffers of the membership dues, and they charge the person $50, but they streamline them through in like 10 minutes and send them out with an ibuprofen. And that's general procedure. So we've seen this come up with the Ebola thing. They streamlined the guy through the emergency thing, didn't, you know, test him for anything. So that's just the standard operational procedures of those, of the greedy that run the healthcare corporations. Probably some of them live in Kauai. Hey, if any of you out there in Kauai are these people that are insurance people that know you're being crooked, or your landlords that are lying to your tenants about stuff, or your person that's not up front and right, you're on the wrong island, you need to leave. And you're on the wrong planet, you need to disintegrate, as far as I'm concerned, or change your ways.
Well, we don't have anyone lined up on the phone, so...
Tell us who you are.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the average human, and that's a gigantic mouthful to chew on, but do you think the average person here on Kauai, in Hawaii, and in the U.S. by iterations up, do you think we are the victim of a dark cabal, of a coordinated group of elites, or do you feel like We have the power. We've just forgotten how to use it. Are we victims? Are we not being accountable for what really is our responsibility?
There's
the average Joe.
Adaptability that's used as a tool. Like during the '60s, we were on track with stuff, and they basically starved us out. They raised the price of housing, food, and everything. Everybody had to give up the cause and get two jobs, and that. That's like social engineering. Education, I was a teacher for a while. Most teachers were more concerned about their Nordstrom card than, you know, being in their 35th year of teaching, still not getting results and doing the same thing. There's no desire. There's no fire. There's no role models. There's no, you know, social acceptability. You're just a conspiracy theorist with a tin hat, like you were mentioning, if you're talking about real stuff.
Well, a lot of people are afraid to talk about it. I remember during 9/11, right after 9/11, people were afraid to speak out against the government, and that was, I think, for more of an oppressive reason. They thought the government was going to come down on them, and now a lot of people are afraid to speak out against the current administration. They don't want to be perceived as being racist or elitist or too white or all these different things. But the bottom line is they're afraid to speak out, and that means the people that aren't afraid to speak out may be a very vocal minority, but they win during those times. So do you feel like we the people are letting ourselves down right now, or are we really being corralled into a corner that's beyond our control?
I think that you need a car to survive, you need a cell phone, you need to eat, you need rent. So how much does that cost? So what do you have to do to make money to pay for those things? Can you be honest in your everyday doings, or do you just try to bring the bill up higher for the tourists that are coming and let the workers over there in the GMO industry just be poisoned, because that's the way it is? And what about 200 people marching through the fields over there and being willing to go to jail?
Well,
how would that look nationally, or people standing at the airport?
You've got to give credit to, let's step above and beyond GMO and pesticides here in Kauai, but just the understanding of the human animal, psychologically, sociologically, our motivations. They've got some very good people that have trained us. You know, commercials used to be 2 minutes, then they were a minute, then they were 30 seconds, and now we have 15 and 7.5 second commercials. So at the bottom of the news channels, you get a little strip so they can bifurcate you, and you're looking and listening to this one story, but you're reading the story down below, and it can be fear porn or sensational, and, you know, they're really good at what they do, but I feel like we have a responsibility to be really good at what we are, which, you know, hopefully is a conscious, loving human that's accountable.
You have to be around. Somebody has to teach you that. So they have to be that to teach you that.
So you don't necessarily feel it's inherent in the human system, that it's something that's got to be learned.
I think the primal needs take over of food, shelter, and clothing first. So those are met, then you can step beyond there and start getting creative with your society and maybe trying to refine this place of existence we're on and take it to a higher level.
Well, I'll leave it at that. We've got more phone calls, but thank you very much. Interesting
you're
call.
Welcome. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Go ahead. You're on the air. We're having a little hard time with the loudness of our phone, so hopefully you can hear.
I can hear fine.
Okay. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
You were talking about a drug rehab center on the island and kind of implying that the cost was really, you know, going to be an issue.
Not so much the cost, and I'm sorry if I conveyed it that way. What the real issue that I felt was the NIMBY not in my backyard. The cost isn't that much of an issue. It's there's a lot of people that were feeling like they didn't want it in their backyard, and, you know, eventually if you get up high enough over Kauai, the whole island is the backyard, so where do we put it that's not in somebody's backyard? So my apologies.
This kind of brought up something for me. It's related to the drug thing, but I was a family therapist for a long time. I'm retired now.
Mm-hmm.
But I was pretty educated in that area, and I lived for a couple of years. I've been here 25 years. I lived all over the island, but I lived for a while in Anahola, and when I was living in Anahola, I witnessed so much domestic abuse there. that it kind of blew me away. In fact, it was one of the reasons that I moved out of that community. And in addressing issues like the drug problems on this island, which fortunately I'm kind of insulated from because I'm in the Howley community and not in the local community, but it does wash over. I have bumped into it personally a couple of times. I would like to say that the real leverage point for problems like that and just about every kind of social problem that you want to name comes from the family and how we treat our kids. And there's a level of abuse in families on this island that I don't hear anybody talking about. I would really like to see somebody take that on, whether it's somebody in public office. I've never heard anybody in public office talking about that. I mean, just listening to local conversations here, you hear the F word like 10 times a minute. And that to me is a barometer of the type of child rearing and abuse that people experience as children in some families, certainly not in all families, but in a large enough percentage that it's having an impact on the society as a whole and creating some of the problems that, for me, drug abuse is a downstream problem.
Well, we've got our guest that wanted to weigh in on this, and then we're just about out of time. But I want to say two or three more weeks till election season is open, and then we get who we get. And I invite you to work with me, and I'd be happy to even do a series of shows exploring this because you're right, it's pretty core. So go ahead.
So what are two things that you would do personally to, I mean, you think that the audience and people out there should do personally revolving around this topic?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that very well.
What are two things that you think people should try to focus on revolving what you think?
Well, one thing is to not turn a blind eye to it when you see it in your community. If you see, like, I heard some of the worst verbal abuse I have ever heard in my life from a parent screaming at her teenage kid in the street in Anahola. And the cops got called down there for domestic situations all the time, which I thought was a good thing. But it gets pretty tangled up in a small community like this because everybody knows everybody, and the police don't want to intervene too strongly because they're related to it. In the Ohana, their Ohana on the island is so interconnected. But I think we need to challenge at some level, either in schools or in stronger social programs, we need to challenge some of the child rearing styles that are accepted.
Well, caller, we're out of time, but I do think this is an area I'd like to jump into. But it's interesting. What we did was we looked at a specific area, but I had to laugh as you were saying it because I live in Princeville. I'm 53. I have two 19-year-old daughters and a, 22 now. And I could tell you I had a few situations this summer where I finally exploded and reached the end of my parenting capabilities and dropped about 20 or 30 F-bombs screaming. And I was feeling very happy that I wasn't punching walls and that I had a very violent stepdad. So for me, dropping the F-bombs is a step forward from, you know, hitting my kids, which I don't believe in either. But so it's not limited to Anahola or anywhere specifically, because there I was in Princeville, you know, running around, and I've got a great family and great kids, but, you know, I lost it. So it's hard to know. Is it that time when someone's losing it on an individual, you know, one-time thing, or is it habitual? But we're out of time. I love this topic because it's all about the future, and I love the questions our guests ask you. So why don't we look to November, maybe exploring a couple shows on this, getting some guests in and taking it deep.
That would be great. Go for it.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you very much. Aloha.
Aloha.
Yeah, that's a great topic. We're out of time. I don't know if you said it was okay to take that one last call. Mr. Jazz with John? Jazz with John is surrendering some of his precious jazz time. Coming up next at 6 o'clock, but we have time for this one last call. So, caller, what's on your mind?
Hey, Carlos.
Hey, aloha.
Basically, I've got something that I'm doing that I want to tell you about, and then maybe you can contact me later, and we'll talk about doing more about this. But what I've done is last year we gave out healthy goodies in Kilauea for Halloween, healthy treats. and we had like four or five families who came. We had 50 families who came, but four or five came and said, this is the only place we're going because we know our children can have healthy treats here. So this year I'm working and drawing a bunch of people together and putting together a thing I'm calling Happy Healthy Halloween.
I love it.
And so basically in Kilauea, it looks like we're going to have about six or eight houses. We'll put out a map through Richard Diamond's newsletter and hopefully through the Garden Island. I'm working on that, but I'll see if that happens.
Now, the thing about Kilauea, historically, at least I've been here almost 30 years, you guys would get swamped as a neighborhood. And you're known for the amazing haunted houses and candy and everything else. But, wow, there's a change of consciousness, so I like it. Maybe we could talk about it in the next show before Halloween.
Yeah, I'm up in Coquay. I'm actually standing at a lookout talking to you. And
rub it in. Just rub it in.
Can I just tell you who this is and
yeah.
You can call me?
Yeah.
It's Jim Edmonds.
I know the voice, Jim.
Yeah, I thought you recognized me. And I, you know, so if you can just get in touch with me, I'll be down Friday afternoon or Saturday.
Sounds fantastic.